Good morning. It is good to see all of you guys. I have to admit that while the worship team is going, I am communicating with people and saying hi. I am lifting my hands and worshiping God and multitasking during worship. So hello to everybody. We want to get right into the message. Listen, it gets to a point where sometimes you get used to a new norm, right? There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. There's 10 of us in this room, okay? And so I'm preaching to a whole lot of empty chairs. I don't know what's going to happen when this place is back in running order and we got everybody on Sunday mornings. I might get nervous as the first time I ever preached because of so many people here. But I am excited to be here this morning. I thank Pastor Johnny for delivering that awesome message last Sunday. I watched from home in my recliner just like you are doing now. Some of you are out on your back porch or wherever you are gathered around with your family. It is so good to have you here. And we have had a ton of people reach out to us that we have no clue who you are, but we are so thankful that you are encouraged, that you're growing, and that you are feeling hope through the worship and through the ministry of New Freedom Church. And so continue to watch. As Pastor Johnny said, private message us. We'd be glad to get you out a visitor packet so that you can see what we are all about. Go to our website as well, and everything that we believe, what we do, everything is right there, all right? So we have been, for a long time, we've been in this series called Crossing Over to Maturity. And we've been going through the book of James, and today I took a break from that for about 4 weeks or so, because I felt that the pressing need of the times needed a response from God's Word, particularly concerning fear and stress and so forth. And so I want to get back into our study in James. And James is interesting because James is written by the author James, right? Jesus's brother. And James is writing the way they did communication back in those days is they wrote letters to the church. And the person that received the letter stood up in front of the church and read the letter to the church so that the church would be encouraged, so that the church would be full of hope, and that the church would grow and learn spiritually. And this is what James is doing right here. He's writing a letter to the church. And he's telling the church, you need to grow up. Look at the person next to you at your home and say, you need to grow up. All of us need to grow up. We need to mature and grow up. Now, I wish that we matured in good times with the sun on our face, with the ease of life at our back, but that is not how we grow and mature. We grow and mature through hardship, through persevering, through pain, through self-inflicted wounds. We grow. And so this is no different. James is telling the church that you are acting one way, you're saying one thing, but acting another. You're showing favoritism, you're blaspheming, you're doing all of these different things, and it's time for you to grow up. So if you would, turn with me to James chapter 2, and our scripture reading is going to be quite long, so follow along with me. I'm reading out of the NIV version, so if you want to click that version on your phone or whatever you have available, James chapter 2, starting with verse 1, we're going to go through 13, all right? James is setting up a little bit of an experiment, all right? And this is what he says. My brothers, as believers in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ, don't show favoritism. Suppose a man comes into your meeting wearing a gold ring and fine clothes, and a poor man in shabby clothes also comes in. If you show special attention to the man wearing fine clothes and says, "Here is a good seat for you," but say to the poor man, you stand here or sit on the floor by my feet? Have you not discriminated among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? Listen, my dear brothers, has not God chosen those who are poor in the eyes of the world to be rich in faith and to inherit the kingdom he promised to those who love him? But you have insulted the poor. Is it not the rich who have exploited you? Are they not the ones who are dragging you into court? Are they not the ones who are slandering the noble name of him whom you belong? If you really kept the royal law found in Scripture, love your neighbor as yourself, you are doing right. But if you show favoritism, you sin and are convicted by the law as lawbreakers. For whoever keeps the whole law and yet stumbles at just one point is guilty of breaking all of it. For he who said, "Do not commit adultery," also said, "Do not murder." If you do not commit adultery but do commit murder, you have become a lawbreaker. Speak and act. Now this is the point here. James is driving this home in verse 12. To the church. He said, speak and act as those who are going to be judged by the law that gives freedom, because judgment without mercy will be shown to anyone who has not been merciful. Mercy triumphs over judgment. Speak and act. Father, I thank you for the opportunity to get to teach your word this morning. And I pray, God, as we unpack all of this, Lord, you would remind us that we are supposed to speak and to act in a way that brings glory and honor to your name. Help us, Father, not to show favoritism, but look to the heart of the individual. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So, James in chapter 1, 1 through 13, that was a whole big mouthful. So we're going to break that down, okay? So let's face it, all right? You send messages with what you say and what you do. If your words aren't supported with consistent action, they will ring hollow. Someone once said, remember, people will judge you by your actions, not by your intentions. This is what James is trying to teach us today. So many times, a lot of people are full of good intentions, but no actions. That's why the Bible says and declares that faith without works is dead. We can't simply pray our way through life. Let that settle in. We can't simply pray our way through life. We must put feet to our prayers, because faith compels us, implores us to move forward, to press in, to hold fast. When everybody else is fading away, when the enemy has attacked us so fiercely that everyone else is falling away, we are to hold fast. And so we can't just have faith, we have to have works as well. Not good intentions, not just mere talk, but action. Simply put, immature people talk about their beliefs, but the mature person actually lives their faith. You see, hearing God's word and talking about God's word can never be a substitute for doing God's word. I remember that I used to go to the county jail back in Tennessee. I would go there with another friend of mine. His name is Fellow Rodriguez. Fellow, if you're watching, man, it's good to see you. I remember those days. But we would go in there, and Fellow knew how to talk and act, and he could just speak their language. And we began to minister to these people. And I would go over to some of the jail cells and talk with some people, and they would quote more scripture than I could quote. And that's because they knew it, but they never did act upon it. It profited them nothing. And you may be in a prison that may not be built by the county, but has been built by your own hands. You know the truth. You've been taught the truth, but you've never applied it to your life, and you've imprisoned yourself by your own decisions, by your own sin, by your own thought life, and we've never acted out the Word of God. We've never demonstrated the love of God, the grace of God, the mercy of God, the faithfulness of God, the joy of God. That's right. Serving God isn't about rules and regulations. When you serve the risen Savior, there is joy unspeakable that is full of glory that should just beam out of every pore of your body. That when you walk into a room, it changes the atmosphere, not because of who you are, but because of the demonstration of faith in your life. We should not be just talkers about the Word of God or listeners of the Word of God, but we are to be doers of God's Word. Every believer has some statement of faith, right? Or some personal expression of what they believe. Most churches have some sort of statement of faith, and members are asked to subscribe to that statement of faith and practice. Statements of faith and church covenants are good and useful. As a matter of fact, we have one right here. And it simply says, it's a membership covenant. And it says, as a member of New Freedom Church, I will protect the unity of my church. I will share the responsibilities of my church. I will serve the ministries of my church. I will support the testimony of my church by attending faithfully, by living a godly life, by giving regularly. I will serve the ministry of my church by discovering my gifts, by being equipped to serve by my pastors, by developing a servant's heart. And at the bottom down here, we have a signature that you sign and date. And that tells me that, Pastor, not only am I just an attender, I have moved beyond that to where I want you to know that I call this my church and that my talents I want to give to the furtherment of the church, my resources I want to give, my time I want to give. So I don't want to just be a hearer, but I want to be a doer at New Freedom Church. But sometimes this covenant can be as cheap as the paper that it's on. Because we fail to show up on Sundays, we fail to give of our talents, we fail to give of our time and our resources, and then we show up whenever we want to give our opinion. Oh, come on now. Hello. So, in our scripture reading, we see that James gives us an example of two visitors that go to the same church service, a rich man and a poor man. And he watched to see how they would be treated. But you know, the way we behave toward people indicates what we really believe about God. The way we behave toward people indicates what we really believe about God. John, 1 John chapter 4, verse 20 says this: if anyone says, I love God, yet hates his brother, he is a liar. For anyone who does not love his brother, which he has seen, cannot love God, whom he has not seen. So in this section of Scripture, James examines four basic Christian doctrines in the light of the way we treat other people. And for the next 4 weeks, we're going to examine each and every one of them. And today, we are going to examine the deity of Christ. Deity meaning God, all right? Meaning that Christ is God and all that that envelops. So in verse 1 it says, "My brothers, as believers in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ, don't show favoritism." How hard is that? Man, that's hard, because sometimes we do it and we don't even realize we are giving preferential treatment. We don't mean to do it. We don't set out to do it. But our actions, not our words, our actions tell us something different. Do you know Jesus was no respecter of persons? Even his enemies said this about Jesus. Listen to this. His enemies said, "You aren't swayed by men, because you pay no attention to who they are." That is so very difficult. Jesus did not look at the outward appearance. He looked at the heart. Jesus is often found talking to people that society had long forgotten or written off. People like the woman at the well that had been married 4 times and was currently living with a man that was not her husband. Right? Back in Jesus' time, a single man was never to talk to a single woman, or a married woman for that matter, out in public. And here Jesus sits down by a well because he was thirsty, and he sees this woman and he begins to talk to her, having conversations about eternity. And see, Jesus knew right away. He said, "Listen," she goes, "Why are you talking to me? You don't even know who I am." And Jesus said, "I know who you are. You've been married 4 times, and the man you're currently living with is not your husband." Now you would say, "My goodness, that's like really judgy of the deity of Jesus," right? On the face, that is super judgy. But Jesus pointed this out in order to bring life into her spirit. And he talked about water that would cause her to never thirst again. That water being the love of God, being the presence of God, salvation and forgiveness, redemption. And out of that conversation, she went back and she told everybody to come and see a man that knew everything about her. And Jesus began to teach the whole village, all because of one person, whom Jesus was not even supposed to even talk to. We see Jesus dining at tax collectors' homes. Now, why would you say that was so bad? Well, remember, Israel was being occupied by Rome. And the Roman government would oftentimes recruit Israelites to do the taxes. And so a lot of times these tax collectors would not make enough money from their wages, and so they would skim off the top, and they were hated by their own countrymen, and they would call the tax collectors dogs. And here Jesus is dining at the tables of the dogs of society. And not only that, but he was also often in the company of hookers and prostitutes and the dogs of society. And there he found comfort. As a matter of fact, there's a beautiful story about Jesus one day. He was just sitting around. He was minding his own business, and there was this just a fanatical mob that had swarmed around him, and it was all the religious leaders who had come to Jesus with this half-naked woman. And she was scared to death because they had caught both her and her lover in the act. And they had dragged this woman in front of Jesus, and the angry mob spoke up and said, "The law says we are to stone her. What do you say?" Now, first of all, if they cared about justice at all, they would have the man that was caught in the act standing there with her. But their intentions were to trip Jesus up. But Jesus saw the heart. Now, in that moment, I don't know that my emotions wouldn't have gotten caught up as well in all the emotion. But you know what Jesus did? The Bible says that he stooped down. He took his finger and he just kind of wrote in the dirt. He stood back up and he said, "He who is without sin, cast the first stone." Stunned everybody. Jesus stooped back down and he started writing in the dirt again. I always wondered what he wrote. And the Bible says that from the greatest to the least, they all dropped their stones and walked away. And Jesus stood back up again and he looked at this scared woman who was trembling, I can imagine. Ashamed because of her act, and ashamed because she was half clothed in front of Jesus. And he looked at her and he said, "Woman, where are your accusers?" She looked around as she could feel hope rising up in her spirit once again. And she said, I don't have any. And Jesus said something beautiful here. He said, "Then neither do I accuse you. Go and sin no more." You see, the love of God compels us to associate with whosoever will. People don't care about our creeds. They don't care about our beliefs. They don't care about our right doctrine. What they care about is the compassion that we have that teaches us in our doctrine to push us forward in real life, to dispense it fully and freely. And Jesus demonstrated this to this woman. You know, Jesus found himself, again, associating with all kinds of sketchy people. People like a self-righteous, broken young man like Jimmy McDonald. Fill in your name, why don't you? That he associates with us, that he comes in as fully man but fully God, and he transforms our life. That he looks at the ugliness of our life and he pushes past that and he seeks out the intentions of our heart and he transforms us. He renews our minds. He puts in us a right spirit, all because he chooses to love and not judge first. There'll be a time for judgment, but Jesus is calling whosoever will to follow him, to repent, and to come after him. I thank God for that. You see, Jesus was also despised and rejected. The religious experts of Christ, they judged him by their human standards, but they rejected him. Jesus came from the wrong city. He was not a graduate of their accepted religious schools. He did not have the official approval of the people in power. He had no wealth. He had no place to lay his head. He had no roof over his head as well. His followers were nondescript mob and included tax collectors and sinners, and yet he was the very glory of God. It's sad to say, but we often make the same mistakes. Our tendency is to judge them on what we see outwardly rather than what they are inwardly. Dress, color of skin, fashion, and other superficial things carry more weight than the fruit of the Spirit that they may be manifested in their lives. We tend to judge rather than look at the heart as Jesus did. That's what the deity of Christ is all about. It pushes past. It's able to see the heart rather than the exterior. It's so easy to stop right there. It's so easy to repost things. It's so easy to click. It's so easy to do all of those different things. Rather, it's very difficult to see the heart of a man. That's why we need Christ living and dwelling in us. The fact is, everything we do in life sends a message. Everything. So make sure to practice what you preach. Benjamin Franklin once said, "Well done is better than well said." Well done is better than well said. So I guess the big question is, how do we practice the deity of Christ in our human relationships? How do we do that? How do we practice that practically, right? It's really quite simple. We look at everyone through the eyes of Christ. It is Christ who is the link between us and others, and that link is love. Love is those magic goggles that we put on that pushes past that rough exterior and lets us see people as Jesus sees people. And so the Bible says, John 3:16, this is it. "For God so loved the world." Not "for God so judged the world." Jesus said, "I didn't come into the world to condemn the world." That's not what he came to do. But John 3:16 tells the story of the good news in a nutshell. "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life." Can I encourage you this morning to lead with love? In a time of uncertainty that we live in today, more than ever, your friends, your coworkers, your family, people at Walmart need to see the deity of Christ demonstrated in a way that exudes love. Now is our opportunity to grow, not only as individuals, but as a church and as a community and as a nation. To love in a time of uncertainty, to trust God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, that he is going to create something good out of all of this unprecedented circumstances that we face every day. Some of you maybe have applied for a loan and have not gotten it. Maybe some of you haven't even gotten your stimulus. Maybe some of you haven't worked in 5 weeks. You're struggling. Like this thing is up in your face, in your cabinets, in your refrigerator, in your thought life. Maybe it's coming out in negative ways in your home. Maybe it's coming out in the way you talk. Maybe it's coming out by your constant watching of the news, not knowing what to believe on Facebook or other news outlets, and things just seem bleak. And what I'm saying here seems to be impossible for you to implement in your life. Know this: nothing is impossible to them that believe and put their hope and trust in Jesus. Jesus isn't the simple answer. He is the answer. Jesus said, "I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No one can come to the Father except through me." So in the face of adversity and how you feel and what you see, Would you choose with me to worship? Choose that in this moment in your life is going to be the biggest moment of growth in your walk with Christ that you have ever experienced in your entire life. May the adversity of this moment compel us to go deeper in God's word, more faithfully in his presence, and a belief in him that becomes a cornerstone of our life. May our faith and our deeds line up together. So I encourage you, look at this time in your life as a moment for growth, to truly back up what you sing about. That our praise is just as rich in the bad times as it is in the good times. That his word is just as good when we're hurting as when we're well-fed and provisioned in our life. Because he is good and faithful, not some of the time, but all of the time. So I want to encourage you this morning. Use this opportunity to grow and mature, because talk is cheap. Let's live out what we truly believe. Let's live out this deity of Christ, who did not, who was not impressed by the status of man, but look intently at the heart. You can be somebody's answer to prayer today. I encourage you, live faithfully. Serve him faithfully. Shake off this moment in your life and walk by faith. Would you pray with me this morning? Father, I thank you so much for the opportunity to grow. I thank you for James chapter 2. And I pray, Father, that we would back up with our actions what we choose to believe, what we truly believe. And I pray, Father, that you would bring comfort and peace to all those who are listening today, who are watching today. God, may your presence go before them. May your grace uphold them. And may the love of God compel them to be a witness of your loving kindness. Father, I ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Some of you today, if you're wondering how to receive this Jesus that I'm talking about, it starts with repentance. Father, forgive me. Forgive me of my sins. Come into my life and make me new. It's as simple as that. After that, it's the living it out. It's getting in God's word. It's being a part of a life-giving, biblically based church. And then figuring out what your giftings are so that you can be a vital part of the kingdom of God. So I want to thank you guys for watching today. If you need prayer about anything, please private message us. We would love to pray with you, talk with you. Again, if you've never been to our church and you found us online, would you private message us your address? We would love to give you a visitor's packet that we would give you if you came here for the first time. All right? Listen, God bless you guys. Share this message as often as you can. Click like and share, and let's get the message out. All right? God bless you guys. Enjoy this beautiful day. We will see you back here next Sunday as we go through the book of James together. God bless you guys.